But there's a conflict between Dahomey and the Yoruba land. Yoruba land is being invaded by the British, or by this time have been invaded by the British. This is the great burning of Benin and the robbing of Benin of all of its wealth and art and so forth that we hear about in history, but we don't connect it to nothing, right? But there's a greater Yoruba war going on between the people. And these boundaries called Nigeria, they're not there then, okay?
Right.
They're greater boundaries. People have other kinds of kingdom designs. And there's conflicts between some of these kingdoms, mostly around trade, okay? But you got something else happening at the same time. As the Muslim wars of genocide and ethnic cleansing has taken place in the Nile Valley with the Mameluk Turks and the Seljuk Turks, and then finally the Ottoman Turks by the ninth century and the end of the 9th century, beginning of the 10th century, they're pushing millions of people out of the Nile Valley into West Africa. Y'all hear what I'm saying? They're pushing millions of people out of the Nile Valley into West Africa, in through Chad, in through Cameroon, into Nigeria, down into Ghana. This population, that through what is called Burkina Faso, this is the population of the people. Everybody always asks, what happened to the Egyptians? Well, we're talking to each other here right now, okay? Because a great number of those refugees, millions of refugees scattered to the south and to the west, because of the Turkish and the Arab ethnic cleansing that goes on for hundreds of years leading up to the 1400s, are caught as the vulnerable population in what becomes known as the transatlantic slave trade. And I know a lot of us don't go there with that piece, but you've got to understand, who are these people? And so the kingdoms like Dahomey on the coast, somebody coming from the north, that's the northeast, have brought captives that they want to sell to another community, because they don't need that expansion in their population. And this group of captives was either hostile to them or refugees that they felt was taking their space away from them. Okay. And that population, most time, that refugee population was least able to defend itself, end up being caught in the trade. And it wasn't a trade at all. It was a war of genocide against African people. There was no transatlantic slave trade. Nobody was trading anything. People were being captured. People were being murdered. People were being raped. Villages were being burned to the ground. Okay? People were being slaughtered to get enough so you can make $200-$300 in that day's money, which would be a couple of $1,000 in this day's money, or for one human being to do labor in the Western Hemisphere where he was worked to death in 10 to 15 years and would be replaced with someone else, a process that went on for 400 years plus.
And we're now very happy to be joined by our next guest, Dexter Caffey, the founder of Smart Eye App, who recently learned of an eye-opening discovery of his own ancient past, all thanks to a DNA test. He is joining us now by Zoom from Atlanta. Hello, Dexter.
Hello, Emily. How are you?
It's so good to see you. Last time was here in Israel. We got to get you back here, but we'll have to settle for Zoom now. You have such an interesting history. Please explain what made you do a DNA test, and then what happened when you found out all of a sudden that you're related to Ramses III?
That's a great question, Emily. Well, about a year and a half ago, I traveled to places like Israel, France, and different places like that. And so what happened was people would always ask a normal question, where are you from? And I would say the States, United States. And the people that I saw in France would say, no, where are you really from? And I said, the States. That's all I know. And so that question stuck with me for a long time. And I just said, where am I actually from? I mean, I know I'm from, I know I'm American, but where am I actually, where my DNA is from? And so I said, well, let me take my DNA test. It was a 23andMe DNA test. And I took the test and I was shocked when I saw the results. It came back and it showed that I was actually a direct descendant of the Pharaoh Ramses III. And I knew nothing of the pharaohs. Didn't know much about Egypt, but everything you hear about, you know, Bible stories and things like that. So for me, it was a huge shock, and that's how I found out about it.
Wow. So obviously you took it deeper and deeper. You saw all of these synchronicities in A, looking at images of the fair, how much you and even your brother look like them. And your own company has like an eye logo that looks like the eye of Horus, unconnected to any of this. So what did this open up for you in terms of your own knowledge and learning about this?
I remember I was actually laying in my bed on Christmas Day 2021, and I was going through my 23andMe DNA test, and that's when I saw that I was connected to the Pharaoh Ramses III. And again, I knew nothing of this situation. And so I looked up a sculpture of the Pharaoh Ramses III, and when I saw the sculpture, I literally screamed. And my wife said, "Dexter, what's wrong?" I said, this guy from 4,000 years ago, we look just alike. And she said, "Dexter, wait a minute. There were no pictures from 4,000 years ago." I said, "No, his sculpture was the Pharaoh Ramses III. His sculpture, we look like identical twins." And she said, "Let me see it." She saw it. She said, "Oh, my goodness." And then I continued to go over different sculptures, looking online. And I saw the sculpture that looked just like my brother. If you could show that on the screen, it'd be absolutely amazing. But it was, and I looked at the sculpture and I said, "This looks just like my brother Joe." And I called my brother Joe and I said, "I'm going to send you something." And he said, "Where'd you get that from? It looks just like me." I said, "That's a sculpture of the Pharaoh Ramses III." And he said, "Oh my God." I said, "That's over 4,000 years old. It looks identical, just like you." So we were blown away, completely blown away.
And talk about the synchronicities. You know, it's funny how, you know, the universe speaks to us. So you have a company that with the eye is a logo. You even have a dog that's similar to the dogs of Pharaoh. What?
As I kept digging more and more, I had a friend who's here in the States. He's from Israel. And he said, "Dexter," he said, you know, your logo that you have for your company, the eye, that you started like over 4 years ago, looks just like the logo from the Pharaoh Ramses III. I said, "What are you talking about? What did they have?" And he had the Eye of Horus. And I looked at it. I said, "Oh my goodness, they had an eye as their logo." And my company's logo was an eye. And again, keep in mind, Emily, I found this out about a year ago. But I had my company established for over 4 years before that, my startup. And so I just kept continuing. I said, "This is crazy. We actually have the same image, logo." And so I kept digging further and I found out that they had dogs called the Pharaoh Hound, which is in the same family as the dogs that I own called Whippets, which are sight hounds. So they run just as fast, chase small prey. That's what they were bred for. So, and then I continued to look at it further, and I said, "Wait a minute, what was the Pharaoh Ramses III's name?" When I actually looked it up, it was, you know, they had different names, of course, but the name was Seti, S-E-T-I, Seti number 2. That was the Pharaoh Ramses III name. Seti number 1 was his father, the one that was the, you know, fought against Moses and the let my people go situation. So Seti number 2 was Pharaoh Ramses III. And I said, "Wait a minute, my company's name is actually Smart Eye Technology Incorporated. If you take the first letter, Smart Eye Technology Incorporated, it comes out to SETI." That blew my mind. I said, "This is insane." So I just, everything connected. And I'll never forget, Emily, my first trip to Israel in 2015, I went to the Negev Desert and I felt so comfortable in a Negev Desert. I remember saying to myself, "I feel like I could like live here." But when I did more research, I found out that the Pharaoh Ramses III spent years in the Negev Desert trading. So again, these are all things I'm learning and I felt like so much at home and I just realized why.
Wow, it's incredible. So obviously you're still on your learning journey of, you know, what this all means, but what is it like to kind of be this person who happened to get a test, discover this, and now we're also learning a little bit about what pharaohs look like? You know, we have images from the Ten Commandments, as you notice, but, you know, what does this tell you? What do you want to do with this information?
I think it's all still learning. I'm still learning. If you saw the image of how I look just like the Pharaoh Ramses III, every day when I look up in the mirror, I look in the mirror and I just see myself and I said, "This is crazy that this image that I see is identical to me." And this was from 4,000 years ago. So I'm still shocked every day when I wake up and look at it.
Thank you so much, Dexter. Next time, we'll interview you right here in studio when you get to Israel. Much appreciated.
But you got something else happening at the same time. As the Muslim wars of genocide and ethnic cleansing has taken place in the Nile Valley with the Mamluk Turks and the Seljuk Turks and then finally the Ottoman Turks by the ninth century and the end of the ninth century, beginning of the 10th century, they're pushing millions of people out of the Nile Valley into West Africa. Y'all hear what I'm saying? They're pushing
millions of people
out of the Nile Valley into West Africa, in through Chad, in through Cameroon, into Nigeria, down into Ghana. This population, that through what is called Burkina Faso, this is the population of the people. Everybody always asks, what happened to the Egyptian? Well, we're talking to each other here right now, okay?
All right, so look, that's going to do it for us. Be sure to visit our website, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. Register for my online history class that we do normally on Saturdays, but this coming Saturday, I'm presenting to the Detroit Reparations Task Force. So our next class will be Sunday, March 3rd, 2024, 2 p.m., and we'll get the new flyer up. But click right here to register here for the class. Class is on sale, $80. Our lesson plan is here, so you can download the lesson plan and follow along in class also, okay? And you support the African History Network, $THEAHN Show through Cash App, $THEAHN Show through Cash App, also through PayPal, paypal.me/theAHN Show. This helps us keep doing the research, stay on the air, keep broadcasting, pay some of the bills. So all the people who are commenting here, and even the ones that don't know what they're talking about, you can support us also. We have to get out of here. Remember, right now, it's correct your own behavior. It's not over till we win. Wakanda forever. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.